Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to The Midpoint. I'm delighted to say that no expense spared for this special Christmas episode, in between Christmas and New Year episode. We'll call it Numus.
Numus.
Yeah. Anyway.
Kenny's back.
Yeah, Kenny's back. Hello, Kenny.
Hi, Gabby.
Now, for transparency, we should just say that we're recording this just before Christmas.
Yeah.
Because actually, the thing about...
Nobody watched you
well,
Christmas.
Except me. Because I was about to say, the thing about the jobs that you used to do and the one that I do is that sport happens whenever people are having their downtime. That applies throughout the whole year. So like Saturdays, evenings. And of course, at Christmas, there's a very heavy football schedule. So I will be working Boxing Day and I'll be working on the 28th doing live Premier League matches. You'll be holding the fort at home in those times.
I'll be cleaning the mess up that you left for Christmas and New Year.
That is one of the great joys of getting up early on Boxing Day to work. But I thought we'd have a little kind of trip down memory lane from previous Christmases. I've worked out we've spent 24 Christmases together.
Is that right?
Yeah.
God. That's like half my life almost.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, well done. And I thought we'd relive some of those classic presents, those classic moments from Christmases past.
Some good ones, aren't there?
Now, some of the traditions will have been already, like the Christmas Eve thing. We like to do adults' presents on Christmas Eve, kids' presents on Christmas morning. And we're quite traditional about the food that we have on Christmas Day.
Very traditional. I make a beautiful... Well,
you make a beautiful mess. I do all the cooking.
You love it. You love the cooking. You love the stress and you start going, oh, nobody's helping me. And you go, get away, get away. And you can't help. So Lois just goes, oh, she's off for it.
No, Lois is going to help.
Lois is going to help you this year.
Yeah, she is. She's going
to help. Ruben definitely won't help you. He'll help you clean up by eating everything.
And I've taken to ordering. I've got a friend who gets this delivery of fresh seafood every year from Dorset or somewhere. And
so he says.
So he says.
I reckon he just goes around, waitress, sends me. Picking up all the oysters and goes, oh, these are from Dorset.
And he gets these oysters. And so I've taken to kind of ordering a few oysters from him, a few dozen.
Remember the first year you bought 100?
By accident.
You bought 100 by accident. And she got to open them all. I said, there's 100. She got, oh, everybody'll have five each.
And everybody, the horniest
house ever.
Anybody's ever opened an oyster. You got to shook them. So you have special shooking.
I stabbed myself.
And well, you didn't have a shooking knife.
I had a ski glove and a knife from outside, which was more like a long screwdriver. I stabbed myself about 10 times.
So we'll have that.
My arm was in a sling for the whole of Christmas.
We've had blood on Christmas Day. It is stressful, that meal,
blood
though.
Blood is quite nice.
The great thing about the Christmas lunch is that it lasts for a few days afterwards. And that I think the kids enjoy Boxing Day food.
I love bubble and scrape. I love the next day when you put it all together.
Yeah.
The bubble and scrape. I love it.
It's one of the meals. On a pan while I'm away.
Day
working.
Four. It's like, I need to throw this out now. I'm bored of it.
I'm bored of turkey.
But I do like it.
I do kind of over-order on the turkey. If there's 10 of us, I order for 12 to 14 and so on. Actually, speaking of turkeys, hopefully this year the oven will work properly. Do you remember the time that...
The turkey wouldn't fit in.
No, the time... You kicked it in.
That was another mistake. You got turkey was far too big, remember?
Yes,
and it didn't fit in.
Well, we kind of squeezed it in.
We have to get a chainsaw
and cut it. Do you remember the time that we only discovered that half the oven wasn't working on Christmas Day?
That was a disaster.
Because the end of the oven that was working was the bit that I could see when I opened the door and the turkey looked great. The back end of it was completely white and uncooked.
So we'd have a turkey.
And your mum went mental. She didn't like not having turkey on Christmas Day. Luckily, I had some beef in. But presents. I'm sitting here.
Can you just talk about that tradition? We did this because the kids, you know, when your kids are young, they always get so many little presents. There's so many things to, like, when especially when they're really young, like four or five, there's so many people giving presents. And we had so many presents. Like, we all know it's like,
There's always too much.
There's always too much for the kids when they're young.
Christmas is generally
actually
too
just,
much.
You just need to give them wrapping paper.
Yeah.
Because that's all
that
Well,
that's more
with.
Like at two and three.
Yeah. But we did that tradition. It was my idea. Let's do it the night before and let's sit and have a glass of wine and we all sit and have our presents. We all go around the presents and we discuss them. And that's where we started finding really bad presents, because you just open the present and go, this is terrible. We actually had to discuss the present. So your mum's presents, oh my God, some of your mum's presents have been brilliant.
Well, she had a habit of buying you dressing gowns for both your birthday and Christmas.
I had a large, medium, extra large for 2 years in a row.
Yeah, for both Christmas and...
Yeah,
so I had to, I said, oh, I think Kenny's got enough dressing gowns now. And then what did she do? The following Christmas, she thought, she clearly thought, well, sod you, Kenny Logan. And she arrived for Christmas. She was staying with us when we lived in London. And there was this thing that was wrapped up, and I knew what it was from the wrapping, and she bought you a unicycle.
Unicycle. I mean, I know I'm a clown. I've still got it.
Have you still got the unicycle?
I might wrap it up this year for her.
No, I don't think you should do that. She's 17.
Re-present. I might just stick it on eBay. It's quite a good one.
It was good. It was a very good unicycle. Yeah. Yeah, that was a funny Christmas. That was the first Christmas, actually, that my dad and mum, who were divorced, kind of came back together and stayed with us.
That was a really nice one.
And that was very funny. It was very funny. And watching them...
She's a nightmare. He's a nightmare. Well, let's just have a nice time.
Opened up presents that they'd sent each other as divorced people.
Yeah. She sent her the dressing gown. Remember?
She bought him a dressing gown. She must have
for his 10th year in a row.
Dressing gown supply. So I'm harking back, though. Hark is a good Christmas word. I'm going to go back to the Christmas that we were pre-children. You were playing rugby. So as I said before, you'd have been playing on Boxing Day probably. And we didn't always go up north to our families then because you were playing. So we sometimes had Christmases with other... We once went to Kirsty Gallagher's family.
That was funny.
Didn't we? And one time we even did a...
2 years in a row, actually.
We did a crisis Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas.
We went and worked in the crisis centres, which
was amazing. I had to take somebody to hospital, remember, who had...
TB.
And they were a bit nervous about me taking them. I was like, no, let's take them. No, I don't think you should be in the van with them. I went, no, let's take them. So...
Yeah, just have the windows open, they said, didn't they? Which was an extraordinary experience. But I'm thinking, I think it might have been that Christmas where, because I think we were opening presents on our own, where Christmas Eve we decided to go to midnight mass.
Yeah.
And we said we'd open one present before we went.
That's right, yeah.
And you said, pick any present. And I opened up. And I think this is a real no-no for any man, by the way. You should not buy any kitchen utensils ever for your wife at Christmas.
Yeah, you're always
expressly
saying,
asked.
You're always saying your knives were blunt.
I was always saying my knives were for cooking were blunt, and you bought me some knives, right? Which by itself...
Okay, along with?
Well, so then we come back from church and we have a glass of champagne and we decide to open another present.
Yeah. And I tell her, open this one.
And he said, open this one. And I opened this box and it's from Agent Provocteur. And I thought, oh, wow, some lovely underwear. Nipple tassels.
Protectors.
No, they were like sequined things with little tassels off them. The kind of thing that the old-fashioned strippers, like, you know, used to kind of like, da-dun-dun. And so as I'd opened the knives and that, I said I could be a circus act and I could be on one of those spinning wheels with the nipple tassels and you could be throwing...
I took the wheel out at the time because
I don't know what you were thinking. I mean, you did buy me some other useful things, but there was extraordinary... You must have...
I bought you underwear and the lady said, do you think she would like some nipple tassels? I went, I think she'd love them. I think she was flirting with me, actually. So I thought, she could have given me any idea.
And of course, nobody can take nipple tassels back.
Did you? No. Do you still got them?
I think I have. Well, they're just so expensive looking.
What about the time you came down when my mum was there? And, oh, my God.
Dressed as Mrs. Claus.
Yeah, and the shortest skirt ever. I mean, I'm sorry, but... Like, you needed in the nipple tassels.
We decided
to dress up
on Christmas.
And my mum's eyes almost popped out of her head.
I went to Anne Summers and bought a Mrs. Claus outfit.
Jesus. My mum's eyes were like, oh my God. It was quite early on.
Well, what do you mean early on in the relationship?
Yeah.
No, we had kids. We had kids.
Did we have kids? We're just trying to liven it up.
London,
you're trying to liven it up with my mum there.
No, it's because it was Christmas Eve. It was all fun. I think the kids had gone to bed. I don't think... I obviously couldn't show the kids that I was
funny.
Mrs. Claus. That would have ruined everything for them.
Yeah.
It was just a bit of fun. Definitely haven't got that outfit still.
My mum used to give me bad presents. My mum once... So when I was growing up on the farm, my dad was a farmer. See, he was
a bit like me. He worked all the time, didn't he?
No, he worked really all the time, not like you're off and on. He worked like 4 o'clock every morning. So Christmas, he would come in. So sometimes we just open the presents when we come in from the nightclub with my mum in her bed, so we could get a long laugh.
Sorry.
Yeah, we'd come in. Well, maybe not a nightclub.
The nightclub. There was only one in Stirling. I'm telling you.
Yeah, we come out. Rainbow
What's it called?
Rainbow Rocks.
Rainbow Rocks.
That's a good name.
What is it?
Rainbow Rocks.
Good
nightclub. And we'd come in, we'd open the presents for a bit of a longer lie. But my mum once bought me a red leather tie. And I said, Mum, it's time you stop buying.
That's quite Cliff Richard.
I thought you'd like it. I went, no.
That's quite
no,
Cliff
I don't
Richard
like
that,
it.
Isn't it.
And we didn't get loads of presents either.
No.
We got one or two presents. I mean, now it's ridiculous when you think about it.
Yeah.
The amount of presents. So, and this year, which is worrying, let me just tell you, she said to me, what shoe size are you? I said, Mum, I'm not telling you. Why? I said, don't buy me shoes. She went, okay, what's your waist size? I went, Mum, no waist size. And she went, what about a jersey? I went, if it's a cashmere. I said, no jerseys. And I'm a large if it's a cashmere. No jerseys. No jerseys that go up in flames.
I love it how she's asking you your shoe size when she's been your mum for 51 years.
Yeah, but my shoes are at my feet. Are a wee bit bigger now. It's because they're swelling up.
Are they
9.5 a little bit. Oh, that's... I did tell you that a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, okay. I don't think you did.
I did.
Okay.
Remember Ruben?
Oh, this could be awkward.
Let's discuss some size front with you, by the way, while we're on sizes. What about the jeans you're at for me? They get these jeans, and she goes, I think you really like these. And I look at them, I thought, I can't even get my ankle in the jeans.
I'd accidentally wrapped a pair that I bought myself.
She wrapped her own jeans for me. You tried to say, I'll get new ones.
Ordered you clothes from, I'd also snuck a little pair of jeans in the basket for myself. And then,
but there's other trousers you bought me.
And then I bought you this. I thought, you'd had a really gorgeous coat nicked from a nightclub, hadn't you? And I tried to replace it.
Gorgeous Gucci.
And I spent a bit of money on this coat. I'd gone to Burberry and bought this coat. And then it had matching trousers. And I thought, that would be really chic. And Kenny, when he played rugby, had enormous thighs. I mean, they've shrunk a bit now. But these trousers, you put them on, you look like Rudolf Nureyev. I mean, they were literally like ballet tights. You looked obscene.
And my mum's going, I think they could be nice. I think they could work. Because my mum's trying to think everything's nice, right? My mum is, like, she's 92 this year. She's still fit as a fiddle. And she's been at every Christmas.
Your mum's missed about three Christmases in 23
three
years.
Yeah, three Christmases, because she wasn't invited.
True. So obviously everybody has their family traditions, you know, and the food, the
pajamas.
I've always liked everybody to have new pajamas on Christmas Eve.
Yeah,
that's my kind of.
You forgot me one year, didn't you?
No, last year what happened was I really made an effort. I decided to get everybody, so Kenny's mum, my mum, everybody. So the women were going to be in matching pajamas, and I thought, we're not going to do Christmassy ones. We're going to just have ones that everybody wants to wear all year round. Yeah. So I bought these gorgeous ones. I've been to Selfridges and got these gorgeous kind of harlequin looking ones,
a bit fresh from my mum.
And they had short ones, and then they had long trousers.
Yeah.
So of course, your mum being 91 as she was at the time, I bought her the long trouser ones. Only I didn't. I accidentally bought her these tiny little silky boxer shorts, Lois had to give up hers, so she could wear the silky boxer shorts. And then I accidentally, somehow, I bought yours and then left them on the counter in the shop.
Yeah.
And
so she's not very good at Christmas.
I'm
joking.
I think what we're illustrating here, and a lot of women listening to this will know, there are 700 jobs pertaining to Christmas.
Oh, you do 700.
685 of them are my jobs. All the cooking,
you
all the
love it. You love it. We still do cards.
Yeah, we still do.
We've done cards. We do 150 cards every year.
I feel bad about anybody listening to this who hasn't got one, who knows us, what we're going. They still send cards. We've got a friend's sister. It's a kind of stepsister, is a brilliant artist, and she's done pictures of us in comedy kind of situations for about
You always look good for some
years.
Reason. And I look like a chump.
So we've
this year they forgot to put my legs on me. And the skinny legs. I've just done a cycle. They should be big, my legs. I look skinny.
It's a caricature.
Oh, yeah. Why do you look so good? You look so glamorous.
I buy the cards.
Yeah,
and
you go, change,
I order the
change,
cards.
Change the way I look. Yeah, change that.
Kenny, I just
leave Kenny as he is. He looks stupid.
I just sent her a photo. I said, just copy this.
On my arms, that's a foreground.
We haven't mentioned the time that you put petals down the staircase.
Oh,
that was very romantic. It was a three-story kind of townhouse, wasn't it? And you put petals all the way down the staircase from the bedroom, and they led into, he'd written I Love You in petals, and the I was a black Yamaha guitar, because I'd mentioned I'd like to learn the guitar. That was very, But then it was amazing, and that would have been enough. And then you ruined it by delivering me the most disgusting painting of all time. Yeah.
And do you know the biggest problem with that painting? I thought I'd get you something else, and I took Peter Scrivener.
Why?
Who's got no taste.
He's got no eye.
And he goes, I think she really liked that. And I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. And he just talked me into it. And then I bought it. It looked like a tray that had got tiles on it and been filled with grout.
It was disgusting.
It was terrible.
And
we took it back, though.
We did take it back.
Can't believe you took it back. I said, you can have that. I'm not giving you money back.
We got a nice painting in return for that.
We did, yeah.
But that was a very romantic one. And then the time that you bought me rollerblades, remember?
Yeah.
And that was quite an unusual...
Well, let's try and get rid of you. What have you bought me which is romantic?
Do you remember the time that you put on a piece of paper something like 2 first class flights to New York and I've still never been?
You've never asked me, give me some dates. That was lastminute.com.
You just write anything on a piece of paper and put it in an envelope.
Just for all you guys out there, if you're struggling last minute, just get a nice picture of Vegas or something like that and just put trip to Vegas or trip to something like that. It's just a win. It's a win.
So, yeah, I think the traditions for me are very comforting and very important and kind of, I think also our kids, even though they're 18 now, they really like those.
Yeah, Ruben and Lois love it, yeah.
I said to them this year.
Ruben's a big Christmas man.
He loves it. He loves it.
He doesn't like the music coming on too early.
No, he likes it.
He got in the car and it was the Zen with the first, he went, you know what time it is? Dad, I went, yeah, my mum's birthday. But no, that too, it's Christmas. Banging the Christmas tunes on, all the way to Northampton. Time I got to Oxford, I was like, can we change the tunes?
I'll tell you what the difference is this year, though. He is, by now he'll be back in Northampton because he has to go back to work on Boxing Day morning because he's a sports person. And that, I think, is going to be psychologically tough for him because I think in his head, a lot of his friends are coming home from uni and having weeks at home, and he's going to get a couple of days off, which is hard when you're that age, when you're 18, and you're kind of like a Boxing Day morning.
And also used to this time of year being off for 2 weeks, school. You know?
Yeah, well, his whole life before now has been predicated by term times, and there is no term time. There is no kind of, you get a big holiday now. And as I say, a lot of his friends coming back have got these kind of like war stories of uni and stuff.
Real life.
For 3 weeks. And and you kind of cling on to these Christmases because you just don't know, do you, when they're going to want a Christmas with their partners, you know, which will... Although yesterday, Lois and Cam and I, that's Lois's boyfriend, we were having a chat about... We went to see a lovely play last night, Little Big Things, the story of Henry Fraser.
Yeah, amazing.
And we were having a chat about Christmas traditions, and he's South African, and he's never had turkey.
So no?
No, he said they just don't have
turkey. What do they have?
They just don't. He said gammon. And Lois said, because they met at school, Lois said, that's what we used to have on Thursdays at school. Did you think it was Christmas every Thursday? and he said they just have like a smorgasbord of whatever's in the house or some treats, and they don't really do like a kind of and the funny thing was he said it doesn't feel Christmassy to me because it's not hot, because of course he's used to Christmases where you know they're on the beach and stuff. He said this isn't Christmas, it's not hot enough. So at some point they'll go off to partners maybe, or
I know that's gonna be quite.
And then what if we're not invited? Like, we've always invited your mum, because as an insurance policy, and my mum, so that we get invited to our kids'
I think for me, because my Christmas is a little bit disjointed because I'm a farm and my dad's working and all that sort of stuff. We did have lunch, obviously, at Christmas, but it was a Christmas lunch, but it was very quick. My dad was, and you'd end up going out helping your dad because your dad was working, so you felt that you wanted to help him so he could finish 10, 15 minutes earlier at night.
Mm.
So you go out and end up working, and so it was different. So now, obviously, I think, you know, I love the sort of everybody together and you know, obviously they'll meet families and, you know, they'll have their boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever. And then they'll have kids. But I always want them to come home, but you can't, it's hard because their wives still want the same.
Yeah.
So I'll have to do a massive party.
Yeah, it's in our house, it's quite a traditional kind of, I think, looking Christmas, isn't it? In terms, there's nothing too quirky about any of our...
No, you light your lights, you light your trees getting up.
I love the trees going up.
You love the decorations.
Yeah.
It's funny, you put the decorations up and you think, this is great. And you take them down, you go, thank God that's away. It's just, you know what I mean?
I'm not sick of them yet, though. I don't at all.
But I was seeing on the 5 Live, people put it up in like October, September.
That's hard.
Some people keep it up all year round.
And then just turn the lights off.
Yeah.
That's just lazy.
Should we do that?
No, we shall not be doing that. But I think the best part of Christmas is people. Bring people together and having those kind of special moments. But not, of course, not everybody can do that, and it doesn't always work out for people. And some people just want to ignore Christmas completely, because we've discussed it on the podcast with Julia Samuel. There might be a tragedy that has, you know, made that Christmas really hard, or they might have lost somebody very, you know, very close.
Imagine if your birthday, one of the girls that worked for us, Georgie, her birthday is on Christmas Day.
I think Carol Vorderman's birthday is Christmas Day.
That's what she's called. I think I'd lie about my kid's birthday. I'd say I was January 28th.
You can't just make it a month later.
No, I would, a month earlier, just so they got a little bit extra. So they got.
It's hard. I think it is hard if your birthday is anywhere from kind of the 15th of December to the 15th of January. People go, here's your birthday, Christmas birthday.
My mum's on the 1st of December. It's not bad.
She just gets away with it. She just gets
93 this year.
We always add a year on to Kenny's mum's age by accident, like she needs that. And I think also we're talking about kind of working through Christmas and being busy in that period. What I like when I do have some days off, which will happen from about the 29th, is I know this is really sad. I've already got in my mind which one I'm going to do. there's one cupboard or one drawer I like to attack between Christmas and New Year. Because when you've got that kind, you just put like a movie on in the background left? And you just kind of go, oh, that cupboard's been bothering me. I've got a day off today.
What cupboard is it?
I'm not going to tell you yet.
I've got a funny feeling. There's not many dirty cupboards around here.
I just like that kind of, it's really cathartic. You have something on the
I've got an idea on that same day.
Have you watched
I'm playing golf.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, New Year, because this is a period of time now where people are thinking about the New Year, New You, New Year, all those things. I've never really been one for massive New Year's resolutions because I always think, like, if I want to change something in June, I'm not going to wait until Christmas time to do it, right? I'm going to do it now if there's something I feel like I'm not doing right health-wise or I want to change something exercise-wise. So I've always kind of felt
it's quite a nice marker and go, right,
it is a marker, though, that's what I'm about
And you have a bit of time to talk to each other because you've had that, not because you're busy over Christmas, but families have that Christmas, they talk, they discuss, your mind goes into a different mindset.
My mum has got this tradition she loves with her girlfriends.
I was talking about it, it's fine.
No, I'll just come back to you on it though. My mum has this tradition
where... It's rude to cut across
people. Where she, her girlfriends, they all write things that they want to do in the following year and then they review them the year after and they open them up
it's
again.
Like a committee meeting.
So going back to what you were saying, having the discussions together.
Sorry, I forgot what I was talking about.
Yeah, that's a problem with you. If I give you 3 seconds, we'll go. So the New Year's resolutions we're talking
about. Yeah, so I think you families have a period of time where they have 10 days where they've been together and their minds sort of drift into a different place. Mm. They're not stressed and sort of thinking about what's happening now. They start thinking about what do I want and, you know, that's why, you know, people do loads of fitness stuff in January. Mm. You know, because of... I'm going to do something.
Even if you're really healthy and you try really hard, it's just a period of excess, isn't it? You just can't kind of like...
I mean, December's a, you know,
a write-off health.
Christmas parties.
You have been this year to a record number of lunches, I would say.
But I've not had much alcohol. Been quite good.
No, you have. You've been driving quite a lot, haven't you? So far you haven't got the Christmas bloat because you do generally, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Put away on
terrible.
It. It wasn't that so much. You kind of had this, like, I call it salty look, didn't you? You had this salty look.
Hammered.
You kind of looked. I always say to Ruben when I think he's like, he's kind of, I think he's a bit salty today. Mm. And he goes, I know what that means, Mum.
She says it every day.
And I know what that means.
He's salty today. No, I'm not salty.
Have you got any New Year's resolutions then?
Obviously, I'm going to be doing Doddy Aid, Gabby, which starts in January.
What are you going to do for Doddy Aid? Because it's
physical movement. My mate Robbie, best man Robbie, you know the guy.
Your best man, I know Robbie very well.
And Leslie. He always says, let's cycle to. He's going to cycle from Scotland down to...
So just to be clear, you do this statically?
Statically. So it's called Doddy Aid. It's all in name for My Name's Doddy Foundation for M&D. And you sign up to the app Doddy Aid. You pay £20, you get a cool snood, you pick a team and you pick a challenge.
So the teams are regional, so they're to do with England and Scotland and they compete against each other and they try and collect miles. And these miles can be accrued through rowing, running, cycling, anything.
Horse riding, golfing, anything. You name it. So... I'm going to do that. And he said, let's do 500 miles. So you cycle to my house, I'll cycle to yours. Mm-hmm. So that's a week.
On the bike.
That'll take a week.
On the
static bike. So I might do a bit longer than that. I might try. Maybe if you should try and do 200 or 300 miles a week.
You know what? 30 miles is going to be like an hour or so for you on a static bike. Maybe an hour and 20.
Yeah, maybe,
So I don't think you will get it done in a week because you'll get busy and you won't do it.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's true.
So that's quite good. Have a good goal.
But it's a good goal. It's good something to do. And also, it's quite a nice community. Start chatting to them about how much miles. You know, it's just nice. It's good.
Okay, so you're going to do that. Fun. That'll be January. And then...
I'm just going to try and keep my focus business-wise and just have a big year. Okay. There you go.
They're going to work hard next year.
Yeah, I work hard.
You always work hard, though. So
exactly.
That's not.
Just keep doing what I'm doing.
You're just going to keep doing.
Yeah. If it's not broken, don't wreck it.
I have a very.
What are you going to do, Gavin?
I'm going to read more. I'm really.
Oh, you say that. You say that.
No, no. But this
you
year,
say that to me. I'm not going to watch these dramas. And then you sit down and go, this is really good, and then you never read.
Well, this year I am. And actually, last night was lovely on
the
way.
Why do you not read when you're travelling?
It's really hard in the back of a car. When you finish a programme, like the other night, I came back at midnight, and it's really hard to read at midnight in the back of a car.
It's hard to read anything, it makes you feel sick.
You need your brain to go somewhere else at that point. But I did read.
So you love reading. I would love reading.
Well, it was very hard when you've got.
Yeah, I've been dyslexic. But, you know, even though I can read better now, I'm not finding it enjoyable. I find it tasking.
Well, tasking.
Is that a word?
Yeah, I don't know. Challenging.
Is that a word?
Challenging is a good one. If you do audiobooks, though, I think that's really, you know.
Yeah, audiobooks are good, yeah. Podcasts.
I want to read more. That's my main goal.
Okay, that's anything else?
And just kind of all that, like you said, you know, kind of just keep up the good practices that you have in your life with regards to health and fitness and eating well and all those things.
So New Year, I quite like New Year, being Scottish, you know.
Yeah, it's a big one for you.
I like New Year, I like Hogmanay, I like sort of. And I think the other thing about, because we all build up to New Year as a business, it's our year end, so it's always like, next year, let's go. You know, I mean, it's always it's a nice start.
Yeah. Do you visualise the year turning? I kind of have it like as an end and then it starts again. And
yeah, no, totally, totally. It's like, I'm excited about next year. I'm looking forward to what's coming. Who knows what's coming around the corner, but I'm looking forward to it.
And as you say, you're Scottish, so Hogmanay, New Year, all of that is. And the traditions of that are first footing.
Yeah, first footing, yeah.
Explain first footing.
So first footing means as soon as it turns 12, you go to somebody's house with a bottle. So you'd walk into somebody's house with a bottle. Even random people knock on the door and just have a glass of whiskey or a beer and just walk off.
And you're the first in the
first
house.
In the house. But you
had a farmhouse in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, so I had to get a car, to get a taxi. I actually first footed myself.
Do you remember Millennium? We wanted to be in Scotland. And we sat on top of a hill, didn't we?
Sat on top of the edge of the Mayotte and watched the fireworks over the Wallace Monument, which was amazing.
Yeah, that was very cool. Any other Scottish traditions for Hogmanay? Because I feel like you guys...
Well, you almost
love New Year more than Christmas, don't you, in Scotland?
Yeah, I would say I like New Year more. I've learned, no, I like Christmas has become a lot more exciting than it used to be.
That's because you live in the South, though.
Yeah, but I think New Year's big for Hogmanay. There's a real celebration. The kilts are on, the tartan's on, everybody's pumped, ready to go for the year.
We should do a Scottish New Year soon, actually. We haven't done one for a while, have we?
Yeah, we should do one.
Maybe next year we'll arrange something and get up and do a proper
in Scotland.
Do you remember that one we pushed the boat out and we were going to Glen Eagles, which was where we got married in Scotland. We took the kids with us. There were four.
Really
We'd booked the big gala dinner, right? And the kids had all the tartan and I had a really great dress and you had your tartan. And then I got food poisoning.
You were so ill.
On the day and I was so ill and I thought, no, we've paid a lot for this dinner. I got my dress on, put my makeup on and I walked down the corridor and I just looked at you and I said, I can't even stand up. So we did one picture together.
One of the best New Year's ever.
So I left you with Robbie and the aforementioned Robbie and Leslie and had to go back to bed. And it was so tragic. I was lying in bed and all I could hear were fireworks and pipes and people having a great time and everybody dancing and doing reels and everything.
Yeah.
And I was just lying in bed feeling very sorry for myself. It's the worst time of year, and it is a time of year people do it, but to pick up something. I really feel for people who are lying in bed right now listening to this who've, you know, succumbed to some kind of stomach bug or flu or whatever, because it's absolutely
awful. Was it last year at COVID?
Before we go, let's just do the COVID Christmas. So it was the second lockdown Christmas. So it was 21. And you got COVID about 4 days before, but you had absolutely no symptoms, not before nor during when you were actually supposedly with COVID, did you? So, I mean, you literally just felt a tiny bit tired. We were testing like billio, hoping it would just disappear. But it was clear. We gave your mum the option, you know, you don't have to come down if you don't want to, because she would have been like 90, 89, whatever at the time. And she wanted to come down. But she still didn't get 90. In her head, really, that you had COVID.
No.
So she kind of expected you to be around. And we'd put Kenny in a part of the house that he could be self-contained. And there's a little room we call Ruben's room, which is like a little snug. And that was where you were going to spend most of your Christmas, sat in there.
To be honest with you, when I got my head right, I'll tell you what I didn't like. I didn't like sleeping in a different room and not, like, I was cut off from everybody. I didn't like that. But during the day, when I sat in where the TV room is, I sat in there, Christmas Day, so this is what happened. this is Gabby. And then she does this, throws down the plate because she's on her own. Because I just went to the, excuse me, I'm Tesco's, can you give me COVID, please, just for between Christmas and New Year, really just to piss my wife off. So anyway, and you just threw it down. And I went,
because I was doing everything.
Yeah, there's no need for that. And she went, oh, and then she was really in one of those moods, angry moods, until she sits down and went, isn't this lovely? Right? So anyway, I sit there and they're all having Christmas in the,
take a step back slightly. You're in one part of the house, which means you're isolated.
Yes.
I'm cooking all day on my own, having prepared everything on my own.
Hang on. Anyway.
Yeah, but I'm doing clearing, I'm doing everything. And we have Christmas lunch in the dining room. You came and stood outside the window and just waved at us, and your mum was so upset. Reuben wouldn't let you even in the room.
Oh, he was paranoid.
Because he said that if he got COVID, his girlfriend, who was on holiday at the time, wouldn't be allowed to come and stay with him, and he was desperate to see his girlfriend. And then you went back into your little room, but unbeknown to us, which transpired after Christmas, we've got a kind of little wine cellar that's just near the dining room, and you were sneaking into the house and nicking wine bottles.
Yeah.
But by the time you finished Christmas lunch, you'd had two bottles of red wine.
No, I didn't have two bottles, but I had one really nice bottle that I thought, I'll save this for a nice occasion, my occasion. So I sat down with a nice tumbler of red wine and a fantastic Christmas lunch. And I watched Arcos of the...
Narcos.
I watched that for about 5 hours. I had a really nice Christmas.
It was, that was really...
Hey, sweetheart, the plates are finished. Close the door. Plates!
That wasn't the best Christmas.
No.
You know the best Christmases? And they're not here this year with us, sadly, because they're up north. But when my brother's kids are little...
And when my sister was here,
when we had Mila, and Mila's only about 5 years younger than Reuben and Lois, 4 years younger, but still that difference of having little children around, and Phoenix and Paloma.
And seeing all the little toys again.
Yeah, and you did that, I shouldn't say it on here in case Phoenix listens, but you did that fantastic thing. Remember, they won't listen to this.
Well, they do. You're lying.
We set the video up and we said to Phoenix, look, Phoenix, I'm going to set the video up here, the phone.
I'm going to watch him coming in.
And I think this is where he's going to come in. I'm just going to film it.
So I'm going to come down the chimney. It's a really tight chimney.
And so, if he comes. Anyway, in the morning.
Did I not run past the window?
Yeah, but that's another year.
Oh, yeah.
As dressed as Father Christmas. But you, we videoed you kind of pretending to fall out of the chimney. But we never saw your face, obviously, just the back of you. Do you not remember this?
Yeah, I do remember.
And then in the morning, Phoenix...
The carrots. And I spilled the milk.
Yeah, you spilled the milk and everything on the floor. And then in the morning, Phoenix ran through and he got the video, the phone, and he went, Andy Gabby, he's been... And he just watched that film about 25 times. And
did they not see it? Is that not Kenny's...
No, they didn't.
Kenny's shoes he's got on.
That was lovely. So I miss having small people around. It's so much fun. Well, it's been a lovely build up to Christmas so far. So hopefully by the time you're listening to this, we'll have had another tradition filled Christmas day, and without Kenny,
fingers crossed,
cutting his hand on
hopefully
the night,
I get another dressing gown.
Well, have a wonderful, wonderful 2024, and I hope you are happy, healthy, and this is to everybody, not just to you, Kenny, and have a brilliant, brilliant year, and lots of love from us.
Thank you for listening for a year.
Thank you for listening to
and supporting
and supporting
Gabby's podcast.
It's
not our podcast.
No, it's my podcast.
You don't even make me a coffee in the morning.
Yeah, I did. I'd made you that.
You did, only because I said to you, everybody else that comes to do a podcast, you make a cup of coffee, make them feel welcome. You're shouting at me going, come on, come into the podcast room.
Well, you were late.
All right. You wouldn't be saying that to John Bishop. Oh, sorry, John.
John was the first ever midweek.
He was, wasn't he?
Yeah, so that's a bit of
circularity.
I like that. Hopefully you're not the last. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you in 2024.
Happy New Year.
Oh, you had to get the last word in, didn't you?
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.